What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 8th, 2018, the last day before E3. It's happening, everybody. It is finally happening. E3 is happening. Oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
It's the best time of year.
It is.
We're finally here.
It is E3 Eve.
I feel like
E4.
E4? Before E4? I see what you're working with there or whatever. I feel like in our industry, people will get the wrong impression sometimes. Not with you and me. We're hype monsters. But people be like, oh, God, I'm so sick of E3 emails. And people are like, you should love
Why
E3.
Why are you excited for marketing?
It's not, for some people, when you hear us bitch about E3 leading into E3, it's not that they don't like E3, is that you get to a tipping point where you're like, I'm so sick of talking about E3, I just want it to be E3.
Yeah,
tomorrow it is E3. It's finally there. I can't fucking wait.
Dude, I can't fucking wait either. There's like breaking news just coming out of the wazoo. You don't have some shit here that was just tweeted.
Nolan North was on the Kinda Funny Morning Show
today.
Yeah,
no big deal, by the way. I'm just sitting in the room fucking making headlines and thumbnails for E3. All our E3 content.
Yeah.
And I just hear Nathan Drake in the other room. It's fucking weird.
If you missed it, you can catch it on youtube.com/kindafunny or the Kinda Funny Morning Show podcast, which is on services everywhere. It's the best episode of the Kinda Funny Morning Show ever in terms of being funny, in terms of Nolan being Nolan, in terms of actually Nolan talking about video game stuff at the end with the Q&A and stuff. Amazing episode all around. Great job, Nick Scarpino.
You don't have the respawn stuff anywhere, do you?
Oh, this thing, no, I don't. You want to put it on? I'm going to put it. Is it the biggest story, I think, or is it?
I don't know.
Is it the Vince tweet or whatever?
Yeah, the Vince tweet.
We'll start. Well, I'll give you that number one. That'll be number one when I come there. So you have that ready, all right? Because printing anything and leaving the internet for an hour right now, impossible.
Disasters.
You're gonna miss stuff. All right. So if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job, go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching. On youtube.com/kindafunnygames later and listening on podcast services around the globe. Remember, I'm wearing this Missouri shirt because I usually wear the ties and the nice shirts, right? But we've all agreed. It was unanimous last time I wore it. I just look too good in this Missouri shirt. I got to wear this Mizzou shirt. I love it too much.
What are you
going to do? Housekeeping for you. E3 is upon us for each and every conference. Asterisk, not Devolver. Even though people are on my case about Devolver yesterday. Devolver, PC Gaming, or Limited Run. All conferences I'll watch, but we're going to do pre and post shows for all the other conferences. They do multi-platform.
Not a chance.
Okay. We do pre and post shows along with live reaction streams for all of those. You can watch them live with us, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We're live 30 minutes before each conference. Then we do the conference watch-along stream. Then we do a post-show games cast. What that means is if you're not going to watch live on Twitch, I understand. You don't want us to be in your ear space. You want to just enjoy it. Or you want to catch it later. You maybe want to sleep. You can go to youtube.com/kindafunnygames where the live reactions are uploaded on their own. Then you can get the games cast post shows we're doing also on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Remember, after that, we go to LA on Tuesday. Wednesday, we see a million games and put up a million different videos. You're making thumbnails and headlines right now, and it's impressive, yes?
Dude, looking at the schedule that you made,
yeah,
unbelievable. We're going to get to see so many freaking cool games,
right.
Play even more.
Yeah.
Maybe not even, that doesn't make sense.
I was super,
we're playing a lot of cool shit.
I'm super excited, and I can't say anything publicly, obviously, because I gave Andy a judge's appointment that I was, because you can tell, I'm the judge, we have one judge slot.
Yeah.
So I gave Andy a judge appointment for a game he's super excited about that I don't think he'd play elsewhere or have any chance to, so that's cool.
I another little fun tidbit.
Yeah.
We're doing one party mode.
Yeah.
That I am extremely excited about.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good for everybody.
So Wednesday, reaction videos. We play games, do all that stuff. Thursday, more stuff in the morning. And then we're streaming from GameSpot's co-op stage. 2:40, we kick that off. That'll be live. You can watch it on GameSpot stuff. We'll be hosting on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you miss that, we are recording the breakouts. We're putting them up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And then that night, 6:30 p.m., LA Live at the GameSpot Battle Rig or whatever it's called, we will be doing a meet and greet. You can come meet and greet us. We will be excited. I have it on good authority that I don't know if you caught my tweets last night.
No, I didn't.
God, dude, would you just pay attention to me ever? You know what I mean? Do you mute me on everything now? I don't understand. We used to be, you know what I mean? I used to know everything you're tweeting. You used to know everything I tweet, man. I have it on good authority. We might get some wings delivered to us.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But never mind any of that for now. Let's begin the show with what is. Oh, no. We're brought to you by Omaha Steaks. I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some breaking news. Now, technically seven items on the Roper Report now.
A baker's dozen!
Kevin, I don't know if you caught this because you were running around technical, you know, doing all the technical stuff for the show. First story's not going to be on the printout. So you're going to have to add this in now for your time code.
I did catch that, and there's an empty space waiting
for you. You can title it Respawn News.
Lay it on me.
Vince Zampella.
We know him well, friend of the show.
Tweets out, "We aren't ready to talk about all of the wonderful things in the works at Respawn yet. ... But we figured out a juicy little tidbit to mention about one of the three projects tomorrow at hashtag EA Play 2018. Parentheses, at Andrea Renee threatened to force something out of me."
Oh. So, what's it going to be? Is it the Star Wars game everybody wants them to talk about?
Jason Schreier.
Here we go.
I was reading his predictions. Like Kotaku put up their prediction piece, and of course, I'm addicted to the hype. I need to know everything.
Of course.
He predicted a Titanfall Battle Royale game, and I'm like, that's interesting.
Huh.
Because EA not really like stepping the feet into that yet. Maybe with Battlefield.
Battlefield, maybe.
Don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But Titanfall, that could be interesting. I don't think that it's likely. Why but then talking about just this little tidbit. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not expecting Titanfall 3 anytime soon.
No, but I think
they did say there was a Titanfall project that they're going to be working on. That they're not done with Titanfall.
Sure.
So I just feel like if you're going to make a Battle Royale announcement, it better be an announcement that it's like, here's the date it's coming. Because you got to strike with Ironside.
Sure.
You can't be like, oh, hey, here's a little hint. It rhymes with Battle Royale. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. That's
fuck you, Kevin. Yeah, Titanfall. I don't know. I don't see it.
I guess, yeah, it wouldn't be ready enough for prime time, but for a tease, maybe. I don't know. I think Titanfall as a Battle Royale game would actually be really interesting. Because especially it would let them do what they should have done with Titanfall 2, and I know this isn't a popular opinion, but said, yep, we are still multiplayer only. We believe in this enough that it is multiplayer only. You're going to play it. You're going to love it. And if it was the Titanfall combat, you know, similar to what Brendan Green talked about when Fortnite was coming out and he's mad about it, put a spin on Battle Royale. Put your own spin on it. And if the thing was, you are 100 players fighting on this thing and, you know, you are earning kills to unlock your Titan to run out there and then really fuck shit up, or you all have your Titan when you start or something, that could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm excited.
But then a Star Wars thing.
A Star Wars thing.
I can see Star That's Wars the one being that, I think, a hint. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel this like tweet.
Go ahead.
It sounds more Star Wars-y to me than Titanfall. But we figured out a juicy little tidbit to mention about one of the three projects. You know?
Yeah. I'm trying to bring up.
It's weird that they're doing this because this is getting ahead of people being too hyped, but it also is creating hype in a way that I'm like,
but
you could have just mentioned.
But isn't
something.
That what this whole, you know,
new
year
world that
is
we live
about?
In?
Like, this year has been about managing expectations by being upfront.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being, hey, no, we're not talking. We're not going to. Hey, you're not going to see a giant trailer for any of our projects. You're instead going to get a tidbit, right?
Yeah. A juicy.
So, yeah. I couldn't remember the third game. And the third game is Untitled Virtual Reality Project. So that's where they're at right now with that.
I hope
one.
It's not that one.
For Oculus. I mean, that's what it could be. I think
really hope it's not.
Star Wars is what you'd like to imagine they are the farthest along on, that you could get a tidbit. I feel that on the heels of Battlefront 2, you want to have something exciting about Star Wars in the
it
franchise.
Was 2 years ago that we last saw a thing about Respawn Star Wars game, and it was during the dev diary.
Hey, yeah, we don't have any of these games ready for prime time, but here's what our studios are working on. Yeah. Mm. That probably seems the most likely. And it would be get the...
Was it 3 years? I think that was when they were hyping up Battlefield 1. Battlefront 1.
Shit, you might be right.
Because we were at the old studio.
The Spare Better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, that...
Yeah, I don't know. Something.
2015, we did reactions at GameSpot's War Room, didn't we?
Yeah, you're right. So it was 20.
Did we ever do reactions? What? We never did reactions. Whatever. Everybody, yeah. Let us know in the fog. What, you know how we're bad with dates, and Nick won't let me paint on the wall like I want to. I think it'll be Star Wars. I think that'll be the tidbit you get because I think it'll be exciting. It'll get headlines, and then they'll have a Star Wars game. It's, you know, we're still coming off the cancelization of Visceral's game or Amy's game. Number one, for real. So I guess number two. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys. I'm too excited for E3. I'm not going to do the math where I add one to everyone. So I'm going to go number one. Crackdown we knew was delayed yesterday, or Jason had unconfirmed reports over at Kotaku that it was delayed yesterday. Now we have a statement from them delaying it till February. This is from Jez Corden over at Windows Central. Microsoft's statement reads, "Our fans' response to the signature antics and explosive gameplay of Crackdown 3 has been incredible. To ensure we deliver the experience they deserve, Crackdown 3 will be launching in February 2019. We look forward to sharing more on Crackdown 3 this Sunday during the Xbox E3 2018 briefing." So for a second, I had a glimmer of hope of winning a bet with you from the E3 predictions bet episode. Now it turns out no, because I said they wouldn't mention it at all. They're going to mention it.
Which would have been
there.
A bold move. I thought you were crazy.
I was close though.
But now, I think it's crazy. This game's still coming out.
Yeah.
At that point,
you just want to cancel.
Just stop.
What if they're on to something? Stop. What if it's going to be a lot of fun?
No. There's no way. No fucking way.
Timmy writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Greg and Tim. Do you think the delay to Crackdown 3, which I am personally happy with, as it will likely mean a better game, has anything to do with Terry Crews being in it? When it was announced at last year's E3, it seemed like the game was done and he was being shoehorned in last minute. To me, it seems possible, given he perfectly fits the tone which they have been giving off, and the game needs a well-known actor to be more established in Crackdown to help it get a bigger reaction from Microsoft. Big fan of the show, Tim."
Miyamoto,
so Tim is still excited about it.
Miyamoto once said,
"Oh god, here we go." Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that a bad game is bad forever.
Yeah, but a delayed game is disappointing. A bad game is bad forever.
But there's a third part to that quote that people don't often say, is that Crackdown 3 has no chance of being good.
Damn.
It should just be canceled, and this does not apply to Crackdown 3.
I mean, Jared and I talked a little bit about this yesterday because Jared is actually excited and it wants more Crackdown and all stuff. I don't think Crackdown was ever going to come out and be an amazing game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they were going to come out and make a fun game, and I still think they can come out and make a fun game, but I just don't think that after announcing this game in 2014, coming out and just giving me exactly what I expect of, oh, cool, I'm getting orbs with my friends and getting superpowers is what people are going to want.
Yeah, no, you know, I agree with you about that. I just think that, you know, we're in a different landscape now, especially Microsoft with their first-party offerings, and to have seen this game so many different times and to be disappointed by it so many different times.
Yeah.
Nick and Andy got to play it last year and they did not like it.
Well, that was the big thing for the main delay people cite is that a lot of people didn't like it.
And so it's like, all right, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I know that there's been enough work put into it, so it's like pulling the plug might not make financial sense, and it's like they'd rather at least put it out and make some money. But if that's the case, just fucking put it out now and just move on.
No, you can't do that. I mean, they can't put it out and just have it be blah.
Well, that's what's going to happen next February.
Well, I mean, maybe, to Tim A's point, I mean, Terry Crews, yeah, it's been an interesting ride with him, right? Where it looked like he was just in the ad campaign, but then the response was so positive that maybe they did add him in. I don't think that's what's delaying the game.
Was response so positive?
Yeah, we love Terry Crews. Kevin, you love Terry Crews?
Yeah!
Terry Crews being in the game make you excited, Kevin?
I didn't know the mic was on.
No, so
like
I yelled.
Yeah, no, my bad, fine. Yeah. It does make me excited.
Right?
Greg.
Terry Crews was one of us. He likes video games. Let him get in there. Let him get dusted up.
Yeah,
just don't worry so much. You know what I mean?
I'm not worried.
Yeah, you're just trying to.
Worry at all. Okay. I am sure that this game is not going to be good.
But is it going to be bad? Right now, I feel like it's going to come out and be like a 7.5.
I mean, in my opinion, that's bad for where Microsoft's at.
Oh, for how much money and how much hype and how much hope is pinned to this game?
This game needs to be at least an 8 for it to be worth it in any way. Okay. Otherwise, it's like, it reminds me of what's the other game? The
Duke Nukem Forever.
No, the a lot of purple going on.
Oh, Saints Row?
Saints Row and things like that. Yeah, cool. They're fine games. They're fun games. But like, this is on a different level at this point.
Sure.
Being featured prominently on Microsoft's stage multiple years in a row.
Right. Well, maybe that's what's happening. Maybe they're putting the dildo bats in this
game.
What
was the other one? It was that was after the purple game.
Oh, Agents of Mayhem.
Agents of Mayhem.
Nobody was anticipating that game.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I had a board because I came out that recently. There was like two people.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go even further. Agents of Mayhem, better game than Crackdown 3 is going to be.
Fuck me running. Jeez Louise. I think they're going to pull together an enjoyable game. We'll see. Number two, Just Cause 4 is apparently real. It was leaked in a Steam ad.
Leaked every which way, and then just Steam's like, fuck it. I'm going to be honest. That's probably like what happened to Just Cause 4 probably garnered the most excitement and most talk that Just Cause 4 would get. I think that game being premiered at Square's conference, I don't think
people like Just Cause. Like Just Cause a lot, right?
Very much. I enjoy the game very much.
And Just Cause, total flip of what I'm talking about with Crackdown. That game knows what it's going to be, and it's going to be exactly what it needs to be. But I'm just saying, like, that's not the type of game that, like, gets people talking. But here it is. We're talking about it because
They got out ahead of the hype.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, this is the death of E3 as you know it, I think. In terms of, and I don't mean like the like E3's dead. I mean like next year, I really do think you're going to be like, hey, everybody, we're Square, and here's the games we're showing at our thing. Here is just a list of bullet points, maybe key art for them. You know what I mean? Of like, get it. If you are a Just Cause fan, get hype for whatever. Not Just Cause next year, but you know what I mean? Of like a game of that caliber.
I don't think so. I think it'll stay like this forever.
I don't know, man. Forever. Division did it. Like, I mean, so many people this year, yeah, Sony has done it.
My thing is, until there comes a day that we don't get any surprises at E3, that won't be the case. Like, there's going to be all of the lower titles that aren't the big AAA things or the giant announcements of games that aren't coming out for a couple of years. Those are always going to get the most attention at E3. You look back the last couple of years, it's like God of War when it was first announced. Every video we put out about God of War got way more views than anything else, right? Sure. You go a couple of years back, Watch Dogs was the talk of the show, right? It's like it's always the big, new, exciting Final Fantasy VII.
I feel
remake.
Like those games will still be, you're still going to have those giant announcements, but I feel like these iterations and these sequels and whatever, I think that really just is going to be the thing of like, all right, cool, if I'm putting out a game that isn't something by Naughty Dog, isn't the next Halo, maybe I should just fucking say, here's what it's going to be, and it'll be there. Just get excited, you know, and then you start pre-ordering whatever the hell you want to. Number three, Bad Robot is going to start making games, apparently. This is Garth Franklin over at Dark Horizons. J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot production company has announced that they're expanding into the video game industry with a new division called Bad Robot Games. The group is partnering with Chinese media conglomerate Tencent to form the new division, which will be controlled and operated by Abrams to develop original games. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment is also signing on as a minority investor. Bad Robot Games will team with various game developers to create both indie-sized and large-scale projects for mobile, PC, and console platforms. Dave Brannanoff will run the division, while Dusker's creator, Tim Keenan, will have a creative director position. What's Dusker's? You familiar with this game?
I'm not.
Or is it a movie?
I'm going to look up Duskers. People.
I don't know if it's really worth it. Just a heads up that J.J. Abrams is getting super into video games. There's obviously been, he's dabbled before, and there was announcements before, but there you go. I'll let you finish
Duskers up. Is a game that came out in 2016. It's an indie strategy video game released on Linux, OS X, and Windows. Looking like it's getting pretty good reviews. 9 out of 10 on Steam.
Okay. Go get them. Then I'm going to write for number four on the Roper Report. Generation Zero has been announced. This is a game from Avalanche, of course. They are the Just Cause people. They are... Hold on. Shit. It's running away. They're doing something else recently. They announced another game on top of this. Help me out.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Rage.
Rage 2. Doing Rage 2 with Bethesda. I put in a lot from... I was running late today when I was got an old North floating around. So I put in pretty much the entire thing here from the Xbox Wire. I'm going to read through it and then maybe jump around as I go. We'll figure it out. This is our first self-published action game with no external parties involved. I'm going to go from their report now. In short, this means that we call all the shots but also carry all the risks. The creative freedom that follows along with this makes it all worth it, though. As our small but brilliant team gets to truly express their passion and develop something unique. In our case, it is an open-world action game that you can play alone or in four-player co-op, where stealth elements and suspenseful exploration of a beautiful but hostile world are mixed with adrenaline-pumping, explosive combat against an invading army of deadly machines, all set against a backdrop of 1980s Sweden.
And they got all the funny robots that we see the videos of.
Yeah. That is a good pitch. That really does make me interested in this game. When describing Generation Zero, we usually refer to it as a guerrilla action game, since the odds are constantly stacked against you. While the setting of Generation Zero might look pretty at first glance, you quickly discover that it is not only deadly, but also requires that you constantly scan your surroundings for any loot that can help you survive. For, at a second's notice, you might find yourself face-to-face with one of the enemies roaming the world, and then it's up to you to quickly decide whether to fight, run, or hide. Regardless of the path you choose or how you decide to play, the actions you take in both missions and encounters will remain in the world through the persistent simulation. So, even if you don't manage to down that enemy at first, the scars of your skirmish will remain on them, even if you quit and restart the game. I think this sounds cool. I like Avalanche games. I know I've not Just Cause. I guess Just Cause 2 I put more time into than 3. I dabbled in 3 but didn't get super into it. Obviously, as Colin would always tell you, Mad Max game of the generation.
generation.
Rage looks good. This sounds like an interesting premise, and I like the idea of it being co-op if you want to. I like that it's not zombies. All right, cool. It's robots. It's something different. I like that it's 1980s Sweden.
And it's the weird robots.
Yeah, it's the weird
robots. Like, why the fuck is someone making a game about that?
Because they're creepy-ass robots.
They are really creepy, but all right.
More power to you, Generation Zero. Avalanche, keep at it. Go get them. And we'll see what that one comes together. It sounds like it'll be smaller when they're talking about their small team, but that's a
it does look cool.
Yeah, right? All right. Number five, another announcement for you. This is the latest PlayStation announcement. Remember, PlayStation all week has been going on the PlayStation blog at 8 a.m. saying crazy stuff. We knew today it would be they'd announce a new PlayStation 4 game. Today we know it's Twin Mirror, the new game from Don't Nod. That's right. Vampire, whatever the fuck you call it. And Life is Strange, number one. Here's from the PlayStation blog. I'll read it. An exciting story-driven adventure game, Twin Mirror is a compelling journey that explores the elements of choice and hypocrisy while paving a player's way towards the conclusion of their investigation. As Bandai Namco Entertainment's first foray into narrative adventure games, Twin Mirror is brought to you by Don't Nod Entertainment, the minds behind the award-winning title Life is Strange. Truth, duality, and polarity will all become factors as players dictate their future through personal choices while investigating the town the protagonist calls home. Twin Mirror is a psychological thriller wrapped around an investigation where your memories, choices, and relationships will determine Sam's complicated fate. As he comes to terms with heartbreak, homecoming, and the perpetual struggle of adulthood, Sam will need your help exploring a dark but emotional adventure where the line between truth and deception is blurred.
Do you think they just took Twin Peaks and Black Mirror and just put them together?
Maybe.
Because a lot of this sounds like that.
Yeah, no. I think you're talking about a good narrative adventure. That's the stuff you want, you know what I mean? 2019... for that one. What'd you think?
Interesting. That seems out of nowhere for the PlayStation announcements that they made, especially for it being the last one.
Yeah. Cool. Well, no, it's not the last one. You got two more.
Isn't it Friday?
No, they got two more after this one. Wow. Remember, tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific, they're going to announce a new PlayStation VR game. Sunday at 8 a.m. Pacific, an eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR, which we don't know.
Okay.
Super Hot 2 was tossed out, I think, since you've been on the show.
Oh, well, I'm into that for sure.
Twin Mirror sounds cool. I like Don't Nod. Like I said, I know a lot of people, not a lot, I shouldn't say that. A few people have written in to argue with, to tell me to keep playing Vampire, that I sold it short by saying on the first hour I thought it, clunky combat and this, that, and the other. I know a lot of people love that narrative and story. I'm not going to go back to it, but I love Life is Strange. I liked the little bit of narrative I gotten from Vampire. This seems like a cool setting and a more interesting story for me, so we'll see in 2019. But for now, Doruk Ivikram writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's good, Kind of Funny Crew? So Don't Nod just announced Twin Mirror, a new IP, and Vampire literally just launched this week. This has me worried that Life is Strange 2 may be further away than we thought. Just want to hear what you all think. Keep fucking that rooster." Interesting question. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Don't Nod seems to be spinning lots of plates all the time. Not all the time, but they seem to be
capable
on top
of spinning
of
multiple plates.
And you figure, they were already working on Vampire. Last year announced they were working on Life is Strange 2, and then obviously Before the Storm was handled by somebody else, and then now they announced this. I think it makes sense that, hey, we're done with one game, we're going to announce the second project. I still think Life is Strange 2 is going to be at the forefront of their mind. I still think that, obviously, you hear about that this weekend at the Square. Hey, we have a Square press conference. Well, let's fucking talk about something. Yep. I don't think you have to worry too much about it. I feel like, stick with me, I know it sounds bad, I feel like they're more in a Telltale situation where their games are coming on this release schedule, finish one, announce the next, but keep it going. And 2019 for Twin Mirror seems far enough off that you can still have something that you've been working on for more than a year, and probably more than that even. I think you don't have to worry too much, Doruk. You agree, Tim?
I agree.
Tim?
Yes.
As we said, E3. Right around the corner.
Days away.
Not even. Less than 24 hours. You understand, by this time tomorrow, we'll have already seen Andrea Renee. Kind of Funny Games only.
Strut her stuff.
Yeah, get out there.
Tell us about video games.
Exactly. She's hosting EA.
Tony Hawk Skate. Give it to me.
The servers are back online. Anyways, that's far away, kind of. I don't know. If I want to know what came in the digital mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Kevin failed me.
I know.
He's trying to run back. It's too late. You missed it, Kevin.
Oh, my fucking
Lord. You failed me. You failed me. The final one before E3, and you failed me.
Yeah.
Out today. Millenoir, Xbox One, Operation Hardcore on Switch, and then Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, Switch and 3DS.
Hell yeah.
You've been playing
that? Big fan. Big fan. If you like anime, if you like fun,
yeah,
this is a game for you.
I played it at PAX. I was terrible at it, but I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to get deeper into it.
It's really cool. Dave Fennoy, voice of one of the main characters. And that caught me by surprise. Voice of the title screen, and then also one of the main characters.
Like, Sushi Strikers.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Exactly. Yeah. He said that. Like,
how do you know it's me? And then also coming to Steam is Hako Niwa Explorer Plus. So go enjoy that. New dates for you. Madden Mobile is now known as Madden NFL Overdrive and will be available worldwide August 15th, 2018 on iOS and Android. This is an interesting one. Gundam Breaker on PC, I think, has been delayed. But they use very, like, the PR blast uses very, like, goofy, like, in-world terminology. Deployment of the new Gundam Breaker for PC via Steam will be delayed to summer 2018. I just like deployment. However, Gunpla fans... Gunpla fans looking for a break to break, build, and battle in the next chapter of the Gundam Breaker series will be pleased to know that Gundam Breaker on the PlayStation 4 will launch in the Americas as planned June 22nd, 2018. And then I put Twin Mirror back in here. Twin Mirror, it's important, I guess, to call out. Announced on the PlayStation, it's a new PlayStation 4 game. Twin Mirror is set to release in 2019 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam, for PC. So you don't just have to get it on PlayStation 4 if you're one of those guys who or gals who hates trophies. Deals of the day for you. The Neo Geo Mini is on Amazon. If you want to go pick up one of those like a big old dork, go ahead.
Jared Petty's
all over, I'm sure. Ryan Batts wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with this. Says, not a question, but a PSA for Canadians. Oi. Walmart Canada is letting you pre-order Days Gone, Spider-Man, Anthem, among others, for $50, down from $80. Then Thomas wrote in and said, wasn't sure where to submit a deal of the day, but Amazon has Xbox Game Pass 6-month digital codes on sale. For $29.99, normally $59.99 right now.
I saw that. That's a good deal, man. Yeah. $30 for all of Xbox first-party titles for the next six months.
For 6 months, yeah, and all the other stuff they have on
there. Probably means nothing, but still, cool.
Damn, burn.
We'll see. Burn. If they ain't giving Crackdown, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
You got
6 months, though, maybe my Master Chief Collection then will come true. We'll see.
With your Battle Royale mode? Battle Royale mode?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's way more than two.
Reader mail, but first I need to talk to you and tell you it's brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Ladies and gentlemen, Father's Day is fast approaching and you're going to forget about it. I know you're going to forget about it. You're going to keep putting off, say you're going to get something more personal than steaks, but you're not. Mm-mm. So what I'm telling you now is take
That'll
up Omaha Steaks. On their deal to deliver hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in the Omaha Steaks cooler. Omaha Steaks even gives you the option to customize the cuts for your dad's grilling needs. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to my listeners for Father's Day at 78% off. This is an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and you get the following Father's Day package. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all beef Omaha steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you get 4 more grill ready Omaha steak burgers for you with the purchase. Again, this is a limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar. Then grab your dad and fire up the grill. Remember, as I say often, they don't check to see if you're really sending it to your dad. Send it to whoever you want. Send it to yourself.
Omaha.
It's a nice little jingle.
Yeah.
You should hit him up.
You missed a news story today, Greg.
Maybe you should help me out. Rather than ride me, you know what I mean, and you fucking throw it in my face, why don't you like do what Andrew or Jared
IGN
does?
Reports from Ezra Crabb, Dead or Alive made 6 announced.
Oh.
A new installment of long-running fighting game series Dead or Alive is coming. IGN can exclusively reveal.
Exclusive.
Almost 7 years after the last numbered title. Oh my God, really? Dead or Alive 6 is planned for an early 2019 release, coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC via Steam. There's a trailer. It's running on a new engine. Dead or Alive 6 introduces more refined and realistic visual details. Characters make a fierce grimace as they execute kicks and punches, blah, blah, blah. 4K graphics and a drastically improved lighting system should enhance all of the visuals in the game. A lot of other stuff. Cool. Go check out that trailer. I used to love the Dead or Alive games.
The volleyball. The physics.
Well... Those were okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those were okay. Christina Aguilera, come on over, baby. Featured in Beach Volleyball 1.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I never played them. I never got into
it twice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ron Barron writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with a response to yesterday's Steam stuff. Had you followed along with this?
Mm-mm.
We talked about it yesterday, and we've talked about it ongoingly on Jared episodes. These visual novels got pulled from Steam because of sexual content. They were like, what? You're going to kill our business. Steam said, oh, our bad. Put them back up. And then Steam yesterday was like, or 2 days ago, whatever, was like, you know what? It's the Wild West now. We're just putting it all out there. You guys can make your own choices, filter your own things. And it was a little vague in their policy. We're going to get into it.
Okay.
Ron writes in and says, what's good, Greg? Yesterday, on the topic of Valve's decision to let anything not illegal on the store, I was disappointed you agreed with them. Just a couple days ago, a game called AIDS Simulator was approved and made for sale on Steam. And the description literally said, low-effort cash grab. Games involving killing gay people have been approved in the past and were only taken down after complaints. Valve's statement was very unclear as to whether they would allow titles like this, but it seems like that might be the case. While Steam is currently the place for PC gaming, I think it's possible, long term, they will lose popularity as developers move somewhere more respectable. Of course, Valve's thing was, unless it's trolling or it's illegal, it will let it go up there and do this. Ron, you called this out, which I had seen before, and I meant to get into this thing, but I didn't print it off for some reason. Andy Chalk over at PC Gamer writes, AIDS Simulator and other games removed from Steam, Valve clarifies the trolling policy. The problem yesterday was very long post from Valve. Not incredibly clear, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, I talked with Jared, right? Is that it's going to be, they find their footing as they go, I think, in disguise. But I digress. Let's check in again with Andy over here, who writes, just a day after Valve announced a new anything goes policy for Steam, simplistically, as long as the game was not illegal or trolling, it will be allowed, it has removed AIDS Simulator, ISIS Simulator, Suicide Simulator, Asset Flip Simulator, and Triggering Simulator from the platform. The games were all added to Steam prior to the announcement of the new policy, Suicide Swimmer, actually September 2017. And while they could easily fit most definitions of trolling, they were presumably removed under the old rules. Valve said in the policy announcement that it won't be making significant changes to what's arriving on Steam until we finish some of the tools it's working on to help them filter what they see. Because the idea is that you now go in your Steam page, if you see a school shooting game or whatever up there, you click, I don't want to see shit like this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Block this kind of crap. Even so, it seems likely that the games would have been taken down under the new guidelines had they been in place. Referring to the prior removal of the school shooting game Active Shooter last week, Valve's Doug Lombardi told VentureBeat that it was dropped, quote, because it was a troll designed to do nothing but generate outrage and cause conflict through its existence. And this is still the quote. In addition, the developer had been involved in numerous misrepresentations, copyright violations, and customer abuses. There are no second chances for Active Shooter or its developers, Lombardi said. And to be explicit, while the developer behind it was also a troll, we'd reject Active Shooter if it had been submitted by any other developer. Valve's statement clarifies its definition of trolling somewhat, and it might be inevitable that we see some degree of an, quote, I know it when I see it attitude. Will have to be taken when determining cross, blah, blah, blah. So again, to Ron's point, to things yesterday. So the litany of editorials that are up right now, they're like, this is a cowardly move by Valve. This is them being lazy. This is a whole bunch of different things. There's plenty of cross opinion out there. Mm-hmm. And I know this is all getting dropped on
you.
I don't know how you feel about it.
I mean,
if you have enough information to make an opinion.
From the information that I have here, it's one of those things, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But I understand their position. And I think that it makes sense for what they do and how they want to run their business. And they have every right to do that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would myself want to have a bit more strict rules when it comes to all that stuff. Really, my feedback is just like, God, man, these fucking people are assholes. Like, what's the point mm-hmm. of like being such a jerk and like making games like that are just meant to troll? Switching on the other side, like when trolling is in your definition of things that aren't allowed, it's like, that's fucking so gray area. There's nothing grayer than that.
But I think that's the point. Is that it really, what Andy's article mentions there is, it's very much like the, what's pornography? I know pornography when I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, I think the Supreme Court. It is the fact that, if Valve's policy is going to be, everything goes up, and if it's trolling or illegal, we'll worry about it. Clearly, AIDS Simulator and Active Shooting and all this is trolling. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point of this? You're not, and I understand that that's upsetting and jarring, and I understand Ron has obviously a problem with that being the case. I personally have a problem with AIDS Simulator. Yes, like, that's fucking stupid. That person sucks. However, I don't mind it existing, and I don't mind it getting taken down, and I don't fuck that guy, fuck or those people, those developers making that thing. But people are assholes. If there's anything the internet's taught us in general, or talking to each other in a more open way, is that there are a lot of motherfuckers out there that with opinions I don't agree with. And that sucks in a way of like you have to see people be horrible to each other, be racist, be sexist, be bigots in general. But I also feel like Valve's in a weird no-win place here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Of like, how do you, how with the influx and the number of games that are being submitted to you, how do you sit there and cherry pick and go through and figure that out? Why not let the public vet themselves? And when I see a game like AIDS Simulator, I do click, this is trolling, and then it gets reported and Valve has to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's the Wild West, as we were saying yesterday.
Everyone's trying to figure it out.
This is a policy that will evolve as it goes, and I understand that it's upsetting to see shitty people make a shitty thing and get out there. But again, what I talked about yesterday is like, well, just don't give it the oxygen. Just click on it. Don't tweet about how horrible AIDS Simulator is and link to it. Just be like, report it on whatever. Yep. When Valve evolves this policy and it goes, I don't know.
Absolutely.
They're trying to do right, and I understand that's tough, and I understand this.
I feel like trying to do right, you're going to have maybe not an equal amount, but you're going to have people upset at you no matter what decision you make, and yeah. You're kind of just flipping it on like the, oh, like free speech, all that shit. But then there's the other side of it that's just like, yeah, but like be good to people.
Yeah. I mean, Ron's point here is I think it's possible long term they will lose popularity as developers move somewhere more respectable. I do not think that's going to happen, Ron. I think somebody would have to come up with a better service for it. And I know... I always fuck it up. Ichio, with that platform for games, they put out a statement that was, or an interview that was very much like, no, we're still not going to allow assholes on here. You know what I mean? Delete your game. I think that might give them an influx of people in that, but Steam is still everywhere. You're a developer, you make your game, you're going to want to get it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's change and everybody hates change. I think that's the reason so many people are mad right now. I don't see it moving to actual lasting change because I think in the same way we talk about it, where you have to be such a hardcore video game person to listen to this show to connect that this developer maybe has a shitty practice, so you don't buy this game. You know what? I'm making allusions to Detroit. I think it's very much on Steam that millions and millions and millions of people use Steam and have no idea this is fucking happening or changing, and probably have no idea that AIDS Simulator and Active Shooter were on there ever. Because yeah. They're there to play Football Manager or to jump in and get whatever else indie or what, not even weird game, AAA game they're getting in there to get, right? They're there with a purpose, and that's why the people who are super invested in the community and want to be in this and change the marketplace and stuff, it's an ongoing conversation. And I appreciate, and I love discourse. I love all the opinions that are being filed of like, this is a gutless move, and this is blah, blah, blah. I think it's, we need to all read each other's perspective and opinion on it and then keep moving. And I say that as somebody who doesn't have a horse in the race. Like, I don't use Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never would have known about Active Shooter and all this stuff and AIDS Simulator if it hadn't been brought up and used in news articles. And like I said yesterday, my father seeing it on the news in Chicago and asking me about this game about school shooting. He's like, fuck, that's how we're being represented.
Yeah.
And it's because we're trying to figure it out and it's becoming a bigger thing. And we're biting on bait sometimes, but I'm interested to see how Steam does it, because as Jared was saying yesterday, what happens on Steam obviously radiates out to the other platforms, and it will be interesting to see if this works and if it, you know, curating your own content and reporting it that way actually matters. Dan Squiggs writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Tim. I just had a quick question about PlayStation VR. I've been wanting to get it for a while, and with awesome upcoming titles like Tetris Effect, fuck yes, and Beat Saber, fuck yes, I'm thinking it might be the time. However, I'm afraid that I might get burned. I'm nervous that I'm going to buy a headset only to have Sony announce a newer, better version of the headset that will leave me stuck with an old model. So, I want to ask you guys, what should I do? Do you see Sony doing something like this in the near future, or do you think they'll wait until the PlayStation 5 to release the next iteration of PlayStation VR? Thanks. You guys are amazing, and I love all your content. Keep up the great work. Dan Squiggs. I think at this point, it's very similar. One of our RT friends, who will remain nameless, because I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything about them. You know, I don't want to violate things. Reached out and was like, hey, I'm buying a PlayStation. Should I wait until E3? And I'm like, I don't think they're going to announce any price drops or anything at E3 or new model.
Yeah.
But they could. So just wait till after. Just wait until Monday.
PlayStation or PSVR?
PlayStation.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
A PlayStation Pro, I think, is what they were talking to me about. I'm like, just wait till Monday night. You'll know. Because it was like last week. It was this week. I was like, just wait. You got a week. Just wait. I don't think it'll happen, but it could. And you never know. Same thing with PlayStation VR. I don't think you're going to get a revised PlayStation VR headset anytime soon. We already had version 2 released with the little earbuds already on there. And then the moving the button from down here to up here, which is very confusing for me in demos, as I have a Gen 1 that I use. Dan, I don't think that's going to happen, that you're going to get something. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen at E3 or around E3.
Yeah.
I think it would have happened already, probably. They would have done like a thing, but it could happen in the pre-show. Could happen in the pre-show Monday. I doubt you'll get an announcement on stage. And I'm just talking about price breaks at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to worry about a new headset. I think you're all right and safe to go buy one. But you figure you do this, and then your next worry would be PSX, really?
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those weird things where I'm not a big PSVR supporter.
Yeah.
And having said that, now would be the time to get one because you know exactly what you're buying it for. Like,
yeah.
You're not gonna. There's gonna be a couple. There's gonna be more games, but like, there's not gonna be much more. The library that's there. If you look at that library and are like, this is worth getting this thing for, now's probably a good time. And again, wait a week. Why not?
Yeah. Not even now.
But days. Otherwise, like. It, for me, I would wait until the PS5. I would wait till the next one because I have a feeling it will be backwards compatible and all that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't think that we're too far away from that.
The other thing, too, is like, and I they do price drops a lot for it. And I can't remember if it was a permanent price drop that just happened. So you might, it might be a moot point. But I mean, PlayStation VR is super cool. I like it a lot. It's definitely one of those things I go through. You know, like when we did the PlayStation VR show, I was playing a whole bunch of stuff, and then now it's just sat there for a while. And I'm doing the same thing I did before, where a bunch of stuff is like the Rick and Morty game is piling up, right? And when Beat Saber fucking drops, I'm all in.
I'm super excited for Beat Saber. I just feel like the PSVR will never not be a novelty item. And I think that like the longer that you wait, the cheaper the catalog and library of games will be. And for $300, you can get it in a bunch of games and have a great month.
Yeah.
With all the different experiences.
Yeah. I think I'm super interested, and I think it's really cool that PlayStation is supporting it. As somebody who's covered PlayStation his entire career now, you know, it's my 12th E3, I've seen them release shit and back off that shit fast. And the fact that, nope, the blog is still, you know, the next two announcements are PlayStation VR games. The Tetris thing has PlayStation VR. All right, cool. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome that they're still there. It tells me there probably still is a future for it. I don't know what it means for AAA and whatever, but I mean, like, Moss is amazing. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. The game that I played at Judges Week that I really dug with the platforming and the little guy from Playroom. I'm going to play that when that comes out. Like, that's a fun platformer to be in there and have that experience. Like, Firewall, Blood and Truth. Like, there's a lot of cool shit coming to PlayStation VR still. And I think that as those studios and those developers continue to tinker with VR, people like Beat Saber keep doing cool shit. That's when you'll see the indie scene thrive and eventually start bringing people back in from AAA in some way, like something similar to Resident Evil. But maybe that never happens and nothing happens. Dracul writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have a few ideas for how Game Freak can evolve the Pokemon formula for their 2019 game. And I wanted your take, Tim Yetis.
Evolve.
This may trigger hardcores, but they'll live. You're hardcore, be careful. New mechanics.
Oh.
Pokemon no longer has levels. The trainer does. This means any new catches are immediately viable for use in the group. Pokemon stats now scale with trainer level. Can borrow from games like the Soul series and have stat scaling ranked A to E when you catch a Pokemon, with S reserved for legendaries. This would keep the, quote, find the perfect one endgame alive. Evolution has a progress meter that may require certain conditions to be filled, parentheses, side quests, bonding, etc., before occurring. Pokemon abilities have their own progress bar and get stronger with continued use. Raise them enough so your Pokemon can discover new abilities. At least to me, this would allow much more freedom to experiment with different groupings, but still have the mechanics for those that like to min/max. Found kind of funny through Easy Allies recently, so I'm not certain if Pokemon is among the series you guys play a lot. But if so, what would your reaction to these changes be? Happy E3, Dracul. You are Mr. Pokemon.
I am Mr. Pokemon, and all of that stuff sounds great to me. This sounds like a great iteration of what Pokemon can be. I know it would anger a lot of the hardcore people, which I am not. So to me, I'm like, yeah, give me this. This sounds super awesome, and I feel like a fresh start on the Switch could be interesting. They won't do it. There's not a chance in hell. Pokemon's going to be Pokemon forever. I don't think we'll ever...
You think Gen 8's just going to be...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be look a lot prettier.
And
even then, I don't know how much prettier. It's still going to be Pokemon, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Like, people like Pokemon for the reasons that it exists, which is it is the same game.
Sure.
People like catching them all. having a new set of monsters. You got to. Having a new set, having the tried and true gameplay. It's like, we don't see too many games with turn-based combat like that anymore. And it's just like if Pokemon got rid of that, it wouldn't necessarily be Pokemon. It'd be some spin-off thing.
Okay. Well, there you go. You sound triggered, but whatever.
Do I?
No. Colin B writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and gets the final question before E3 is upon us. Colly B says, hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. First time, long time. I'll keep it short. What do you think the odds are that Psychonauts 2 will make an appearance at E3? With the announcement coming at the 2015 Game Awards, do you think it's almost time to see a release date / window for Double Fine Productions' next project? If so, what stage do you think we'll see? We'll see the announcement. Thanks for all the content. You add so much good to the world. Keep fucking that chicken till it's a chicken tender. It was tough. There was a tough, a lot of chicken words in there.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Psychonauts 2. Yeah, we haven't heard anything about Psychonauts 2 in a long time. I don't feel like it's meant for the PlayStation stage. I guess if Microsoft's trying to bring out a lot of different stuff, as they have been, as they're trying to, you know, make that could be there. But even then, huh? The thing about it, you bring out the 2015 Game Awards, and when it got announced, like, Double Fine takes their time. You know, ask the Gang Beasts console release. You know, and now granted, different, you know what I mean? But they published it. I don't know. It's interesting. I would say no. I don't expect to see Psychonauts at E3. And I don't have any, like, read on it. I just don't feel like that's something we'll see at E3 this year. That'd be a great PSX thing.
Yeah, it would. I don't expect to see it either, but I feel like if we did, it would be at Sony's. Like, even though that doesn't really fit Sony's E3 MO the last couple years, Double Fine and Sony go
They
go
do.
Together.
They have quite the relationship.
Yeah. But I don't expect to see it this weekend.
Sorry, Collie B. Take a C. Squad up time, everybody. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a joyous time together. Today, Chris needs help on the Xbox One. His Xbox username is Blastoise. But it's a zero. Please change your name, Chris. You can. You're not even a PlayStation person. Kev will put it in the description, but Blastoise. Hello, Kind of Funny crew. My name is Chris, and I'm looking for some best friends to play with, have some laughs, and hopefully get my first win in Fortnite Battle Royale. I'm not the best at shooters, but I'm easygoing and looking for like-minded players to have a good time with. Thanks for all you do. Keep bringing on the filthy. Blastoise, Blastoise. Go play Fortnite with Chris. Tim, we got a new segment.
Oh,
it's called Where My Wolves At?
Ooh.
Shaquille writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg, rant, please. So fucking Vampire released this week and I'm pissed. Why are there no werewolf-focused games? It's always these fucking vampires. Every game having vampires, left and right. There are so few werewolf games that I could play them all today and finish them before E3. Greg, you can rest. My question is mostly if we'll ever get a couple great werewolf games. And why the fuck do people not make werewolf games like standalone or DLCs? I enjoyed Skyrim a lot, but I need something new. Well, Shaquille, remember, of course, spoilers, 1886, The Order, 1886, there's werewolves in that. You could go play that game. And I would also venture to guess it's just hard to animate all that hair. They want that werewolf to look really good.
4K.
Yeah, 4K you got to have going there, too. I don't know. I hope people hear you, Shaquille, and understand there is a market for werewolf games out there. Maybe 83 you'll get some this year, you know? But who knows? Maybe Altered Beast was just so bad, too, that it fucked it up for everybody.
Damn, it's true. Kebabs writes in with a you're wrong about this, saying the official pronunciation of vampire.
No, I've heard this.
Is vampire.
Yeah.
As that's how the devs pronounce it in their videos.
Sure, they're also foreign, so I'm going to keep saying vampire. And if they didn't
that's a dumb call.
They shouldn't fucking take a word we all know and pronounce very specific way and put a Y and R at the end and be like,
it's dumb.
There you go.
Really dumb.
Right? Y'all understand what we're doing, don't you?
Tell them, champ.
You know what I mean? If I see these don't nod fucks who are close friends of ours at E3, I'll fucking get them.
Tell
St. Michelle, you know, the guy. Remember when we met him? We hung out with him at that square party? You know, downtown at the Loft. It's where we played something for the first time.
Didn't you order
I'm
sorry. Him?
I sent him Lego Dimensions. The starter pack is at the time, and that's how long ago this was.
He came here when they put out Life Strange, right?
Yeah, when they put out the special. Anyways, we digress. Tim, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to You're Wrong, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight. What do we screw up today?
Valen24 says the Miyamoto quote is actually a delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is bad forever.
Well, Miyamoto should know that it's not always good. You know, it could be good.
Brian McBrien says PS4 Pro just got a $50 price drop to match the Xbox One price drop.
Mm-hmm. Well, there, I saved that RT person money. Thank you, Kev.
Cheer.
Not all heroes wear capes.
PD00000 says, Greg said they could announce a PS4 price cut in the E3 pre-show. As far as I know, they've said there is no pre-show this year. The announcements this week are instead of a pre-show.
Oh, I missed that. My apologies,
that's
everybody.
Interesting. I like that. I think that's
that was
way,
a better way to have those announcements shine, for sure.
Kebab says, the game Greg's thinking of is Astrobot.
Thank you. That is correct.
And finally, Matt of Doom says, the Doom VFR bundle with the headset's only $200 and $250 with PS Move and Skyrim until the 18th for the Days of Play sale going on right now. There Greg. You go.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. We won't be doing that next week because it's E3! If you haven't paid attention, E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo, where a bunch of video games get announced. We will be doing all sorts of coverage for it, starting tomorrow morning with EA, pre-show before it, 30 minutes before each and every conference. Not really, but you understand. We'll be doing a pre-show, then live reactions, then a post-show. Mm-hmm. You can catch it all live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch with us. If you want to catch our stuff after the fact, no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and get that live reaction video along with the Gamescast post show. If you just want the Gamescast post show as an audio file, subscribe to the Kinda Funny Gamescast on MP3 podcast services around the globe. Wednesday, we will be down in LA at E3, seeing all manner of games and making reaction videos for youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I believe we're doing a Gamescast at the end of the day to recap it all. That'll go up, obviously, as an MP3 and on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Then Thursday, seeing more games, making more videos, but most importantly, going over to the GameSpot co-op stage at 2:40 in the afternoon Pacific time, doing a stream of all cool things, awesome people to talk to. I need to look at, I sent out all my confirmations yesterday. I can confirm, I sent in the thing, hey, please let me know if I can confirm you, right?
Got it.
There's a couple unannounced things on there, but I can definitely tell you, Anthem, gonna be on the show.
Woo!
We're gonna talk to the people behind Anthem. Andy can nerd out and do that. Mm-hmm. Patrick Klepek, Major Nelson. Easy Allies coming through. And the PlayStation people, some of the PlayStation
do we know
games.
Who are we getting from the Allies?
Brandon Jones, I believe, and then Huber, I believe. Yeah. It was one of those things that Brandon was like, "Well, some of us have things to do." I'm like, "Fuck you, Brandon." So I don't know.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
No, I love Brandon.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. We'll put it on the schedule and announce it, obviously, on kindoffunny.com. You can find the Reddit, do all that jazz. And plus, it sounds like we're signing off, but remember, we're back tomorrow. We don't get a weekend. We'll be live, and you'll be hanging out with us nonstop. So don't worry about it, everybody. We're very excited for E3. We hope you are, too. Stay in touch about all this E3 stuff. It'll be fun. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.